didn't get to the podium ahead of time, so give me just a moment, please. I'm a sexaholic. My name is Larry. When I was a caregiver for my dad with his Alzheimer's, two of his sisters also had Alzheimer's, and I wound up in the genetic study to see if there are genetic markers to identify this. And I've been tested now 5 years running, and they claim that I'm not. And I said, with all the stuff I forget, I gotta be. And they said, if you can remember that we told you that you aren't, that proves we're right. So I went upstairs to get stuff to bring down here, and I got started with it. I came down on the elevator and realized I got to go back up and get something else. So I came back down. Doggone, I forgot my name tag. So I had to go back for that. And just a trifle warm here. Let me take one off, please. But first, I'd like to make an announcement. I talked with Iris and Roy between Christmas and New Year's. Roy said he is doing well after the cancer surgery in his throat. He's now talking well, at least he was to me on the phone. And he's appreciates all the cards and letters of support that he has received that have been sent to SACO, and Kay and the staff has forwarded on to him. He's very grateful for that. So I told Roy that we were praying for him, and then he said, here's the prayer I suggested to friends in the groups I attend when they said they were praying for me. God, we ask for a breakthrough in lust recovery, that you pour out your spirit in SA, and that you send laborers into your harvest. I ask you, where is that man's ego? He didn't ask for anything for him, just for the fellowship. What a way to exemplify service. Thank you, Roy. Most of you are aware that we are among the more than 200 12-step programs patterned after SA, after AA. I would like to read a poem that I received from a dear friend in Al-Anon. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the club, enjoying a meeting instead of a pub. The ashtrays were clean, and the coffee was made. The big books were out, and we all had prayed. When out in the lot there arose such a clatter, we all jumped up to see what was the matter. The chair with his big book and I with my smokes headed outside to find these two blokes. They came on inside and sat at the table and said that they'd chair as soon as they were able. To start with, they said, it's more than not drinking. It's doing your best to fix your sick thinking. Think, 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 and the slogans we use help keep the newcomer from getting confused. Step one is a start, they said we should know. But after step two, we'll be all aglow. We made a decision when we got to step three. Step four was real tough. We all could agree. Step five is the one where we let it all out. And after steps six and seven, we're left with no doubt. When we got to step eight, we made our list. And then with step nine, We have to persist. After step 9, the promises ring true. We didn't just make that up right out of the blue. And after that, it's on with the rest. The things we must do to be our best. They put on their coats and got ready to leave. A pretty good end for a Christmas Eve. As to their names, we could only guess. Must have been Bill W. and Dr. Bob S. The two men hopped into a 35 Ford. Keep in mind, that's when they were alive. And as they pulled out, one of them roared, "We leave this message for our sisters and brothers. Trust God, clean house, and be of service to others." And for all of you people, I just want to say, have a nice holiday, but don't drink today. Today I know that the light at the end of the tunnel is an old-timer walking ahead carrying a lantern. Be of service to others. That's what John, Bill S., and the committee asked me to talk about. I asked Bill where the teleprompter was. He said he didn't have one. And as I told you about my memory, I had to write mine out or I'd forget most of it. And I'm having a hard time. Had cataract surgery. Somebody talked about that. And so the right eye is just a blur for the small stuff. So my apologies. But what are my qualifications? I was molested by a teacher and a friend of the family who worked for my father when I was a boy. But my SA sobriety date is September the 1st of 1988. Thank you. I have served in half or more of the positions in my group, intergroup, and region, as well as service in the General Assembly. I was part of the Bylaws Committee in each of these groups. I wrote the draft of the 12 concepts article that's in the SA Service Manual. My sponsor, Barney W., has been saving his sobriety chips and then passing them on to me 30 months later. Why should I do service? Won't somebody else do it? I don't have the time. But my sponsor says, SA was here when I needed it. It is my responsibility to see to it that it's here when somebody else needs it. I do have to believe my sponsor, don't I? Besides, we have a poster in our meeting room that says, service is the rent we pay for room on this earth. Don't tell anybody, but I printed it and put it there. I wasn't even sure that I was going to be able to make this meeting. This is the first winter convention I've ever made because my wife doesn't like me to leave in the wintertime when there's snow and she has to drive. She wants a chauffeur. So I got her an all-wheel drive car and put four good snow tires on it. She says, okay, you can drive it. So when Bill asked me to speak, I talked to her about it, and after about a week, she says, all right. But her sister-in-law was dying of lung cancer, and they weren't sure that she would even make Christmas. And then December the 30th, we put my daughter in the hospital. We got her out Wednesday over my objections. The psychiatrist refused to talk to us, said he didn't have time. I said, she's not ready to come out. Well, they were discharging her. Either we picked her up or we didn't. So we got her Wednesday afternoon, and Thursday morning, here I came. During lunch, I got a phone call that Ann had died this afternoon. But my wife supported me and I'm here. She recognizes the service commitment. When I was newcomer, she said, how long do you have to keep going to these meetings? Now she says, aren't you going to your meeting? Time to go. Roy wrote a lot in the White Book about sobriety versus recovery, attitude adjustment, and changing our habits. I've seen another poster that says, failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be. Change has been in the public eye a lot in the last few months. But we in 12-step fellowships have long been told by our predecessors that changing our attitude is fundamental, the foundation on which our own recovery is built. Who wants to change? I didn't. Wasn't I pretty good just as I was? Well, maybe a little change. But how do I accomplish it? I mean, heck, I'd quit acting out hundreds of times. I just couldn't stay quit. So how do I accomplish it? Practice. And more practice. I've heard that practice makes perfect. But still, embarking upon a new course is difficult. Nobody else knows that. I needed to make practice a habit. Habits are tenuous at first, but with more practice and more reinforcement, they become as strong as a cable. That's what my acting out habit was. So I had to practice not acting out, but practice clear thinking, practice being of service to others. Guess what? As we heard earlier, it works. Indeed, it's one of the most beautiful compensations in life that no person can sincerely try to help another without helping themselves. 20 years ago, due to my misbehavior, my wife had asked me to leave. The big pedestal she had put me on had crumbled to ashes, and she was devastated. It was 2.5 years later that I was invited back, with conditions that I accepted. My service has given me enough opportunity to practice, and my practicing has paid off for me and for us. With more time and practice, we became better with our communication skills, expressing our feelings, and more importantly, respecting and understanding each other. 2 years ago, we celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary with a trip to Hawaii. While we were there, I bought a pair of t-shirts. It says, I survived the earthquake. The earthquake happened while we were on Maui, and it knocked out the power for the whole island. But I relate the T's to the earthquake that I caused in our marriage, the resentment for her taking charge and for her controlling nature has now mostly dissipated. The replacement was more tolerance on my part and more admiration for her skills and accomplishments. I'm still working on tolerance in my reactions to the world that doesn't revolve around me. I just exist within it. I'm sorry the listeners on the CDs can't see these visual aids, because I got some more of them. But those of you who are listening on CD, just think, if you'd come to the convention, you could have seen them. In serving others, blowing up doesn't help. this t-shirt of the volcano blowing its top. Reminds me of my propensity to blow my own top. Harsh words and a judgmental attitude can cause as much destruction as the lava flowing down the sides of the volcano, igniting everything in its path. It's heartbreaking to contemplate the hurt that I caused. But while we were there, we actually took a helicopter trip and flew over acres and acres of hardened lava where forests, towns, and communities had been. As we flew over a house remaining in this sea of lava, the pilot told us that the man still lived there, but he had to use an ATV to get in and out over the rough lava. Couldn't sell the house. Who wanted to buy a house surrounded by acres of lava? But he had too much investment in it to throw it away. How much investment do we have in our lives? We also drove through rainforests that had grown up in the ancient lava flows. And it was very reassuring to see that pain and destruction really can be replaced with peace and beauty. Yes, looking deeply, scars can still be found, but I believe that the pain of the scars can be lessened. I've been the recipient of others' kindnesses. It's only fair that I reciprocate. Our programs emphasize that we cannot make direct amends, that when we cannot make direct amends, we can pray for those whom we have hurt, and we can live better lives. Doesn't that sound like we could also give service to another person in reparation for those to whom direct amends are not possible? One surprising thing for me is that when I freely serve someone, I feel better. Why? I don't have to know. I don't even have to care. But I thank my higher power when that happens. The 3A's theme of a previous convention, and I notice there's an upcoming marathon that has that same theme, awareness, acceptance, and action. That's the answer. All that really matters is that my program actually works when I work it. And when I serve someone else, things do get better. For example, working on our intergroup bylaws made working on our regional bylaws easier and quicker, even, or maybe because, other servants of the fellowship also had experience from their own bylaw committees. Then came the total fellowship bylaws, and we hit a wall. A good set, we thought, was presented, and it was rejected. And then another. Why was this expanded pool of experienced servants unsuccessful? I think the short answer is that the new situation involved satisfying the laws of the state of Tennessee, because our bylaws were an legal instrument. So we had to expand our pool of experience and knowledge even further. So we included the trustees and SACO, and the lawyers finally approved the bylaws. Since then, the General Delegate Assembly has asked for more personally delivered reports from the committees and the trustees, and for the trustees and Kay to take part in our discussions. Another lesson learned: when I'm unable to succeed, I can ask for help. Personally, I'm such a poor speller that frequently the spell check in the computer cannot come up with a word that it says I have misspelled. So So then I got to go to the big dictionary. And guess what? It's not there either. So what do? I asked my daughter, the one we just got out of the hospital. She's borderline retarded, we were told, but she's a good speller. And that gives me more practice in asking for help. I think that lesson was presented with joining SA in the first place, wasn't it? Asking for help. Seems that we need to keep practicing in all of our affairs. And this includes being of service to the fellowship. Now I'd like to ask this assembly a question. I ask both husbands and wives and singles to answer. Have you sometimes found real communication difficult? Or is it the lack of good, honest communication that makes things difficult? I think that this is both the easiest and the hardest and frequently incomplete part of our lives. We need to practice communication within our families, jobs, and service work. Experience not shared is of very little value of others. Isn't that why all our meetings include sharing our experience, strength, and hope? Bill R. Jr. said at a meeting years ago that we have to carry the message. We have to tell them whether they want to hear it or not, especially if they don't want to hear it. My home groups will attest to my following that practice. But because the message is not always accepted, I still feel inadequate for the job. However, my responsibility is to present it, period. What's done with it is not my responsibility. But when I shortchange myself, I hurt everyone, not just myself. Some members only want to attend meetings, and when asked to serve, decline. Say, you go ahead and do what you want to do. One thing I want is help. They don't yet realize that, despite Roy saying so, mere sobriety is only the start of recovery. Recovery, to me, means progressing to where my life should have been all along, whereas sobriety is just the cessation of acting out. You know, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Sure, sobriety is critical, but declining service is like getting up and leaving the table before they serve dessert. Roy talked with me about victory over lust, personal and group inventories, and the dangers of internet pornography. I believe that victory over lust is our common goal. However, before coming to these meetings, we had no idea how to accomplish that, and our efforts had been unsuccessful. Fortunately, help is available. And we have been lucky enough to find it in our 12-step meetings. Sharing, step work, sponsorship, books, pamphlets, the SA newsletter, recordings, phone calls, marathons, conventions, they are all tools in our recovery toolbox. And even more tools are brought to light as we work our programs. I have a collection of the SA newsletters going back to 1989. And when we downsize, my wife says, we can't take it all. So that collection's in our group meeting room as part of our lending library. We also have 2 file cabinet drawers full of program recordings on cassette tape, plus several dozen CDs. quite frankly, I'm getting discouraged because they just aren't used that much. But we have them there. We got them. They're available. If you don't use it, so what? There's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can put his head down in the bucket and drown him, but you still can't make him drink. In steps 4 and 10, we take our inventories. But how often? Jesse L., who was nicknamed the Bozeman Hammer because of his hard-hitting program, was an old-timer when I was a newcomer. He seemed to like the word two, spelled T-O-O. He said that he never heard of anyone who had worked the steps too quickly, too thoroughly, or too often. Practice and service, step 12, fit right here. What about a group inventory? Have you ever been a part of one? Good, some of you have. Does your group routinely do them? Have you ever heard of one? That is a good service opportunity. No blaming, just brainstorming, honestly, openly, and willingly about where the group as a whole is in recovery. Roy told me that the group he attends was very concerned about members intentionally viewing internet porn while still calling themselves sober. Their discussion within the group inventory resulted in this addition to their meeting agenda. This group does not support the practice of deliberate exposure to porn of any kind as being consistent with either progressive victory over lust or sexual sobriety. We do wholeheartedly offer, under God, our experience, strength, and hope to any who want to stop lusting. By the way, this quote, an inverted pyramid, and some other papers are available down here and a couple over there. You're welcome to help yourself to them. What's left over, I'll take back. We'll probably run out, and if you're really gung-ho, ask Kay and give me an email address, and I'll email it to you. She'll forward that. But Roy did ask if anybody wants to add that to their meeting agenda, to do it verbatim. Doesn't want it paraphrased. But let's think about what this group did. Polling the members gave each person the opportunity to share his own experience, strength, and hope while focusing on one specific topic. The consensus provided reinforcement for everyone and was a service by all to all of the group. Now that service, having been communicated, gives all of us the chance to benefit our own groups. Sounds like good service to me. How about benefits of service? What do I get out of it? I get fellowship, friendships, improved relations with my higher power, my family, my neighbors, co-workers, and other friends. But most importantly, with myself, understanding myself, my weaknesses, my strengths that can be used for good, for dealing with my defects, and for working on my recovery. In my sickness, I was looking for ego boosts, for praise from others. In my recovery and in service to others, I noticed that need for ego boosts and praise is not so overwhelming. I'm accepted for who I am as others see me. You remember Popeye the Sailor Man? His favorite quote, "I am what I am." Here I am, warts and all, and that's okay. My home groups not only read the 12 steps and 12 traditions at every meeting, but also the 12 promises and 12 rewards. We all feel the effects of the encouragement that they offer. I've experienced the 12 promises come true and the 12 rewards come to pass. I have a peace that I never realized before. I don't believe I'd be in this state without service work. I also need to mention some of the service I have received. Debbie called us all family at lunchtime. You know what? Federal government recognizes that. At the St. Louis Convention, a bunch of us decided to go to the Arch. The National Park Service runs that facility. So I pulled out my Golden Age passport for seniors, and your family gets in with a reduced rate. They let all 20-some of us go through. At the Oklahoma Convention, the flights out were only a single flight in the morning. And I didn't want to have to leave Sunday morning and miss all the Sunday activity. So I made it my flight for Monday. And I found a motel that was about a third of the price of the convention hotel, and it was close to the airport, and they had a free shuttle to the airport. Problem was getting there. So I'm wandering around seeing if maybe somebody local might be traveling out that direction that could give me a ride. And I poked my head in the door, and here's a whole bunch of people sitting around talking. Turned out that was the convention committee. And they allowed me to ask my question. And I just, is anybody heading out anywhere near the airport that I could get a ride? Sylvia said, well, when do you need to be there? Doesn't matter, any time tonight, just, you know, to sleep before catching my flight. Well, why don't you stick around and come out with us? Okay. She called her kids. They cooked dinner for 20, 30 people. And we went out there, and Gene took us for a ride in the lake in the speedboat. And he had this great big TV screen that we watched and had a good time. And one of the other guys from Philadelphia was also catching that flight. So we were going to share the motel room, which now made it 1/6 the cost of the convention hotel. And so one of the female members took us out to another meeting. And the meeting was in a church, and the pastor ran the meeting. And afterwards, we went to a restaurant for a snack. The restaurant was operated by a parishioner. And everybody that came in with the pastor got a 10% discount. So after that, she took us out to the motel. Really appreciated that. And I remember that with a lot of fondness. But friends, brothers and sisters, you're hearing about the good benefits of service. But I also need to tell you that I've learned to be less greedy. While I love paying back and being of service in the General Assembly, the region, the inner group, and the home group in SA, I'm also active in several church ministries, and I have 2 special needs adult children who also require a lot of time and energy. I strongly desire to complete my term in the General Assembly. I had turned down the first 2 nominations to chair the GDA before accepting the third time because I was asked to do it. But I'm definitely going to get out of the way and make room for you and you and you and you. Oh, well. So you can join the ranks of faithful servants. You can obtain these benefits also. I'm not hogging them all to myself. There are enough service opportunities for everyone. At the bottom of the inverted pyramid, trustees are needed. We've got 2 open slots now. 2 trustees are rotating off in July. That's 4 open slots. We're allocated 9. We need trustees. The delegates task the trustees with running everything. We need more people or they're going to quit, and then nothing gets done. So hunt up some trustees, candidates. Get a referral from the group and the intergroup. Pass them on to Kay, and she'll get them to the nominations committee and go forth with them. Trustee requirements are for about 5 hours a week of work. That's when you got nine of them. And it's an unpaid job. So we need to keep that in mind, but we do need them. There are also lots of openings for alternate delegates, regional representatives, and alternate representatives. Committee members are needed at all levels, trustee, region, and intergroup. Now, for example, the Finance Committee wound up with 50 pages of data on SACO's finances. And if you really want to see it, Kay will give it to you. And if you express interest, she'll ask you to join the Finance Committee. Remember that most of us got started by helping set up and clean up at our group meetings before moving on to intergroup service and regional service. All of these service positions sound important. Indeed, they're very important. However, the absolutely most important and most basic service position of all is sponsorship. Remember my sponsor Barney's comment, SA was here when I needed it, and it's my responsibility to see to it that it's here when somebody else needs it. Whatever experience, strength, and hope I have was obtained with the help of other members. Shame on me if I don't give back what I have received. Most of us realize that sponsorship service is not a one-way operation. When I'm asked how many sponsees I have, I say, I don't know. If I count only those who do what they said they'd do, I don't have any. If I count all of those who claim me and call me once in a while, you know, 2-3 times a year, then I have about a dozen. And quite frankly, I find this disheartening. Everyone, please contact your sponsors. Sponsors are people. They have needs also. Let them know they're appreciated. Years ago, one of the youngest in my group, college freshman, whom I did not sponsor, asked at a meeting if I'd been riding my bicycle at a certain place at a certain time. Yes, I had. Why? Well, I was driving out to an adult club when I saw you, and then I turned around and went back home, still sober. 15-18 years later, I still remember that, and I still get a boost for having been a good influence. Have I ever felt that my higher power has given me a job bigger than I could carry? How about a bigger burden than I was willing to carry? Aha! What a difference. There are many things I cannot do on my own, but higher power has not demanded that I carry on unaided. I did used to do a lot of carrying on unaided. But he led me to SA. He put sharing and caring people in my pathway there. I only have to be willing to take the actions. There even may be something to that effect in the big book, or the white book, or the green book. Surely in the 12 and 12, step into action, or the blue book. Gee, maybe this is another indication of the way I should live. Why, I even bet there are mentions of service in one of those books. My sponsor statement, SA was here for me when I needed it, and it's my responsibility to be sure that it's here when somebody else needs it. and the idea of service being like paying rent sure seemed to fit. Paying higher rent usually yields nicer living experience, and it shows more service also yields higher dividends. Don't take my word for it. Ask your sponsor. Ask those with long-term sobriety. Ask those who keep coming back. Remember, there are a lot of pass-outs up here on the edge of the stage. I beg all of you to remember that it is choice, not chance, that determines your destiny. By not choosing to reject temptation, I, in effect, made the choice to become a sex addict. But today I can make the choice to reject lust and acting out. I can choose to live free. What do you choose for yourself? Bill, would you please join me up here? This is my speaking shirt. For those of you who cannot read the front of it, it says, "Talk is cheap." I wear it because I agree with that bit of cowboy wisdom, the best sermons are lived, not preached. But Bill, would you please read the back of the shirt to everyone?
You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk?
May your higher power surround you with His peace and comfort. I thank Bill, John, and the committee for inviting me to speak, and all of you, my brothers and sisters, for listening. Let's go get ready for the entertainment.
Before we close, one quick note. If you want a full set of tapes, stop out there and see Lee.